Well, Fred, we have you on frequently talking about the works of Think New Mexico, and I know that you guys have released a new report. It talks about how New Mexico can get more affordable health care. In fact, the title of the report is Improve Healthcare Affordability in New Mexico, and I was wondering if you could, you know, kind of give us an overview of this report.
Sure, Mike, and thank you for having me back on your show. So this year we're trying to tackle healthcare affordability, as you mentioned, and your listeners probably know that this is a very serious problem, not only in New Mexico, but everywhere in the country. Just to throw out some statistics, in 1980, about 6% of state GDP went to healthcare. In 2009, which unfortunately is the last year for which we have statistics, that number has jumped to 17%. My guess is it's closer to 20% right now, and clearly that's unsustainable. And it harms our quality of life here in a number of ways. First, it makes it harder for employers. It really deters employers from hiring more employees because of the skyrocketing cost of health care. On a personal basis, since 1980, the percentage of personal bankruptcies attributed to health care has gone from 8% to 62% and today. And what's really frightening about that is many of those people had health insurance. And then, you know, the final thing is, as state taxpayers, health care is the second biggest cost of our state budget. And because it's growing so much faster, it's eating into what we can invest in, you know, K-12 public education and higher education. So it's a big deal.
You know, Fred, there was a part in the study that I would like for you to address. In your study, you talk about data that was released by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Studies. It talks about how hospitals across the state charge a wide range of prices for treating the same procedures in Medicare patients. And in there, you use blood poisoning in Medicare patients. You talk about the price being nearly $20,000 in Taos to more than $72,000 in Las Vegas. And I was wondering if you could, you know, kind of add a little more to these numbers that I just quoted here.
Sure. And you clearly did your homework, and I thank you. And that's exactly right. And the interesting thing about this is we looked at 100 most common medical procedures. And that's not an aberration, that example that you just gave, Mike. That's fairly typical, that if you look, and what we did, and this took months, was to look at all 44 hospitals in New Mexico and then try to find, okay, who was the lowest cost provider, who was the highest cost provider, and what was the difference? And it was generally, the highest was about two or three multiples of the lowest cost provider. And, you know, when you think across the rest of the economy, it's hard to think of other examples where you can expect to find such incredibly wild price variation for the same product or service. And I think the reason for it is because the healthcare pricing system is so opaque and it's so impossible to know what different things cost. I mean, imagine if, you know, if the same pair of blue jeans cost, you know, nearly three times as much, actually more than three times as much, just 77 miles away. So Las Vegas' hospital is 77 miles away from Taos. And my guess is a lot of people in Las Vegas have no idea that if they just drive 77 miles down the road, they can basically save $50,000 for getting the same medical procedure. And again, we think transparency will create some competition, and those prices in Las Vegas will probably come down substantially. They may come up a little bit in Taos, and that's a very fine hospital. They're really doing a good job. And interestingly, that hospital in Taos recently decided on their own. I guess they figured out that they have very competitive prices, and they've decided on their own to become more transparent. Unfortunately, they're the only ones out of 44 hospitals, which is why we think this would be better done through a statewide website.
Well, Fred, let's now focus on and again, we've been talking about this for the last few minutes here, and as always, whenever you guys, you know, prepare a paper, for lack of a better word, report, whatever you want to call it, you guys always, you know, urge lawmakers to kind of take a look at it and act at it on everything else. What are you asking lawmakers and the governor to do with all the information that you guys have gathered here?
Thank you for that question. Essentially, four things. The first is to create a statewide website that would have both price and quality indicators for the 100 most common surgical procedures. And we looked at the 14 states that are already doing this, and candidly, Mike, they're not so good. And we've learned from that. One thing that they do, like California, is they just publish what's known as the charge master list. This is the phone book-sized list of prices that every hospital has for thousands of procedures. And that's not really very helpful to consumers because it just, you know, swamps them with too much data. So the website that we have in mind would just focus on the 100 most common medical procedures. The second mistake that other states have made is not to provide any information about quality. And, you know, and by quality, I mean a quality indicator might be, for example, infection rates or readmission rates, things that consumers, you know, statistics that consumers can use to determine quality. And when you don't do that, people just assume that, you know, what's that common refrain, you get what you pay for. And so if you put up a website with just prices, many consumers will say, well, I want the most expensive because I assume that correlates with quality. Interestingly, the studies indicate the opposite, that there's actually a slight negative correlation between price and quality in healthcare. And you don't see that in other sectors. And I think the reason for this, or what the studies explain, is that the most expensive healthcare, sometimes it's because, you know, there's been a readmission to the hospital and the price spikes. And so you don't necessarily want, or you shouldn't assume, that price and quality correlate when it comes to healthcare. So we would put quality indicators up there so people can see, you know, what's the hospital in New Mexico that has the lowest readmission rate or the lowest infection rate. I might be willing to spend a little bit more for the highest possible quality. And again, that comes back. You know, what we're really aiming for here is a healthcare system built around value, getting the best healthcare at the lowest price, as opposed to what we have now, which is a healthcare system that's really built around volume, because they get paid and they're incentivized, the providers, you know, to have more tests and so on and so forth, whether or not those are always needed. So number one is the website. The second thing is, to have a website like that, we have to get rid of what are known as gag clauses. And these come about, these are between providers like hospitals and medical practices and insurance companies, where they negotiate a set of rates, and they don't want their competitors to know. So they put into the contract what's known as a gag clause, and that makes it impossible for a patient right now, if you were to call a hospital and say, look, I'm going to get a knee replacement, I want to know how much it's going to cost, they would probably say, we can't tell you because we've negotiated a contract with your insurance company that won't allow us to tell you. So we want to get rid of those, because to create this website, we have to have that data, and it has to be publicly disclosed. A third thing that we want to eliminate is something called price discrimination. And that's when, so for example, if you go to a hospital, let's just take 10 different people, say in Artesia, just to use an example, a random example. If they all go to the local hospital, and each one of those people, you know, let's say one has Medicaid, one has Medicare, seven of them have insurance, but different insurance companies, and the 10th is uninsured, every one of them will end up paying a different rate, even though they're going to the same hospital for the same procedure and they have the same doctor. And that creates incredible complexity, and that's one of the reasons that we've discovered that about 31 cents on the dollar spent on healthcare goes to administration. You have to have lots and lots of people translating and explaining this very complex system, which is just redundant and unnecessary. And so we'd like to go to a system where you say to the hospital, pick a price like you would for any other part of the economy for all of these medical procedures and charge that to all your patients. And that'll be better for the patients. It'll be easier for them to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges when they're shopping for their health care. And it'll also be better for you insurance companies and you hospitals and other providers, because you won't have to, you know, enforce this incredibly complex system, and you'll be able to bring out some savings that you can pass on to your doctors and your nurses and your patients. So that's the third thing. And then the fourth thing is, we'd like to, as you know, Mike, in New Mexico, we have some of the lowest reimbursement rates by Medicare and Medicaid that really are unfair to our hospitals and our medical providers, because, for example, with Medicare, they're only getting about 94 cents of their cost back because Medicare has so much clout. And Medicaid is incredible. They only pay about 89 cents of what it costs providers to provide different medical procedures. And that forces hospitals medical clinics to cost shift to make up for that. And so we're going to try to go to Washington in November and try to persuade them to do an experiment in New Mexico where they lift those reimbursement rates to something over 100%, so at least our hospitals, and you know how in rural New Mexico our hospitals are really struggling to get higher reimbursement rates that at least cover their costs, and try a little experiment where we eliminate price discrimination and set prices, you know, like other retail companies do, to cover their costs and to build in a little bit of profit. And I have, you know, no problem with that. We need to have a healthier hospital system, and that can only come about with higher reimbursement rates from Medicaid and Medicare. But in return, we think we can cut costs across the system with a more rational pricing system where we charge people the same thing for the same procedure with the same doctor. And I think if Medicaid and Medicare were to try this out in a small state like New Mexico, they would see that overall, on a macro level, you would reduce costs. And maybe this is something they could replicate in other states.
Well, Fred, I know that when we've talked to you in the past, you've talked about how, or some of the accomplishments that your organization has, some of the things that your organization has been able to accomplish here in New Mexico. Let me word it like that. You want to share some of those accomplishments with us?
Sure. You want me to brag? I'll be happy to.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
thank you for setting me up with that question, Mike. So I think we're best known for getting a full-day kindergarten law through the legislature that's made full-day kindergarten accessible to every child in the state. And the second initiative that we worked on was repealing the tax on groceries, which, of course, was a very regressive tax. Alabama and Mississippi are the only two states in the country that continue to fully tax food. By the way, your listeners should know that the Municipal League and some others are talking about trying to reimpose the tax on groceries at the local level, and I hope your listeners will go to our website and go to our Action Center and contact their legislators and tell them that that would really be a mistake for low- and middle-income families. A third initiative was to create a strategic water reserve to keep some water in our rivers to help out our farmers and get water down, you know, to the southern part of the state. We think that's been a good thing. Then we worked on reforming the lottery, which is still struggling somewhat, but back then when we started, only about 22 cents of every dollar that people bet on the lottery was actually getting to those deserving high school students who are staying in school, studying hard, getting good grades. And too much of it was going to vendors and the bureaucracy there. So we were able to persuade the legislature to create a minimum of 30 cents on the dollar getting to the students. Now, about 55%, and this is across the country, goes for prizes. So, and then there's got to be a cost for administration, and we've, I think, been successful in reducing the amount going to administration and reallocating those savings to students. Then we worked on reforming the Public Regulation Commission, and with the help of many of your listeners, we passed three constitutional amendments to change the qualifications, which couldn't have been lower. They were just that to serve on the Public Regulation Commission that sets telephone rates and utility rates, and it's actually a very complicated job. You only had to live in the state for 1 year, not be a convicted felon, and be at least 21 years of age. And now we have some real qualifications that you'd find in most jobs, you know, based on your education and your work qualifications. So that's been a good thing. And we took the Department of Insurance away from the PRC. They just had too much on their plate, and created it as a more independent agency, insulated from politics. And then last year, we had an initiative around creating more jobs and trying to do some things that make the state more business friendly. One of the things that we got through was a one-stop, efficient business portal where you can do all your filings if you're a business with state government in one place, instead of having to go to multiple state agency websites and enter, in many cases, the same data, and just try to make the state a little more friendly. We got some other initiatives that we're going to bring back to the legislature this year around jobs, and we're optimistic about that, and we're going to bring in this plan for affordable health care, which we think can start to bring down some of our health care costs.
We're talking with Fred Nathan of Think New Mexico. Fred, as always, it's a pleasure to chat with you. You'd like to leave us with any final words?
No, I just, well, first, I guess, yes. I want to thank you, Mike, as always, because you are so generous about sharing your airtime with us here at Think New Mexico, and we really appreciate that. And I guess the last thing is I just encourage your listeners again to, if they're interested in any of these issues, to go to our website at www.thinknewmexico, written out as one word, .org. And they can go to the Action Center and learn more about these proposals. And if they want a copy of the report on affordable health care, they can just call us up. Use your name as the promo code. Say, I'm a friend of Mike Jackson's. And we'll send them a complimentary copy of the report, which we charge lobbyists $10 for. And they can call us at 505-992-1315 and ask for Jennifer, or just request it through our website.